So I'm going to read four poems tonight, and I want to start with a poem. First of all, I want to thank Joan Bauer, who, as we all know, is a Pittsburgh treasure. And I don't think there's any city in the world that has a Joan Bauer. And I continue to say, when her next book is published, party at my house. Okay? We are rolling out the red carpet for her, and no one deserves it more. I also want to thank Jimmy Savetic for this amazing series. It's such an honor to be here. I want to thank Jan Beatty, one of my dearest friends and most important teachers. I'm going to start tonight with a new poem, a poem that was published today, and I've never read it before, and I want to read it for Leanne Norman, who's one of my favorite mad women. She visited the class that I'm teaching for Mad Women at Ellis this week and brought the girls to tears, to silence. It was just wonderful to have her reading some really difficult poems. So this is for Leanne. It's about a remote island, a remote beach in the west of Ireland in Ardmore, a tiny little beach called Goat Island, where a group of women have been swimming 365 days a year for many years. Many of these women in their 70s and 80s, and I had the pleasure to swim with them when I was there last year. The girls of Goat Island. Every morning and every season, they come to swim the southern coast of Goat Island. From spring jackets and skirts, they emerge in blue bathing suits, bare legs skimming across a cavernous beach, heads capped in white. Like a bevy of birds, they dip in the tide, stroke imperceptibly out, circle back to themselves, these girl women. Their shape takes the form of the sea, sinuous as an eyelid, sharp as a forgotten sound. Without a white cap, I stand out, bare-haired American. After a swim, they strip naked, powder breasts and towel bottoms, hover inside limestone yune before time was a word or an abstract. They huddle close, dress and laugh, at ease with their bodies, each other. But the vigor of May makes me shiver. This soft Irish rain mixed with talk, bare limbs, and wet rock. This next poem I want to read for Sheila Carter Jones, another mad woman, one of my favorite mad women. Sheila read this poem for me just before I sent it out. And it's for her, and it's also for our President Barack Obama, who I love. And I had the privilege to work for him on Election Day in 2008, taking elderly people to the polls. It's called White Girl's Sonnet for Barack Obama. I come from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, from Donegal, from Croatia, from Mont-Saint-Michel, from Troy Hill, from a long line of immigrants, from steel mills, racists, and bigots, from the city of bridges, the Mon and Yauk rivers, from egalitarian blowhards, from an infant left in a basket in Dubrovnik, from the note attached to her blanket, we are opera singers and can't care for her. I come from a century's arias, from untraceable orphans, from Robert E. Lee and Honest Abe Lincoln, from American might and wrong-headedness, from white Catholic churches and mostly white neighborhoods, from the canonized privilege of dialect, from the syntax of Caucasian ignorance. And like a vine I can never eradicate, it creeps in between slats, cracks my pavement. Pull it up by its roots with both hands. Turn away and it swells rightfully back. On Election Day 2008, I worked the polls, signed an affidavit for a 92-year-old white woman. She was blind, you see. I had to enter the election box to witness as she cast maybe her last vote for democracy. Thank you. Thank you so much. Just two more poems. It's Mother's Day, and my sister is visiting from San Francisco. My sister Bonnie, the eldest of 10, and you can imagine what kind of hell that was. She's always been the person we measured everything by, and as I've grown older, I realized what kind of pressure that put on her. And she was also very deeply loved by both of my parents. My father now died. My mom is not here tonight, though she's still living. And she gave us a great love of the natural world. So I want to read this for my beautiful mother and Bonnie and my sister. My mother, as Walden Pond, out of her twig-filled lungs, a strong wind whirls. She is a small stream obstructed, a standing body water-filled. In spring, she floods parched uplands. In winter, bristles over. She is walkable and swimmable. Apple tree wood roots inside her teeming throat. Her calves and feet are pliable as leisure. Her fingers, alburnum. White paved stones encircle her and mark the solitary home of one lone loon who laughs loud at her watered-down jokes. She is time gestated in the song of whippoorwill, a 17-year Concord locust hatched of ribbed solitude, the serenade of fox, the swoop of owl, a clear deep well of April green, the rising steam in January thaw. Neither inlet or outlet. Some think her bottomless or speculate man-made. Some say brought forth by rod. She contains herself in color, appears altered at a distance. Sometimes her blue reflection rises in the form of firm-fleshed fish. They swim her depths, which are transparent. And I'm gonna end tonight with a poem for Michelle Stoner, who's also reading with me. Michelle just lost her mother. She's a part of a small workshop that meets at my house, and a poet that I admire in part because she's always, her poems are about social justice and humane subjects. So this poem is from Michelle, The End of Violent Crime. Driving in, I cross the Swickley Bridge, look up and see the hills begin to shift to autumn. I think of what I'll say about the Gulf States' barricaded doors, the risks of ISIS terrorists disguised as homeless. Our textbook strikes a tone against American individualists, seems to favor cultures who, suddenly I'm struck, it's 9/11, a day whose weather omened contradiction, clear skies, low 70s, too good to be true in Pittsburgh. And as with most things in this life, the silver lining turned out to be the cloud itself. It's Friday, 9:45 a.m., as they funnel into Hale, room 204, a cement block fortress with few windows and a Cold War feel. Honors intercultural communication, prepared to talk the Syrian migration crisis exploding across Europe and the world, the biggest wave of immigrants since World War II. But instead of clips of EU ministers speaking Dutch and German, we begin with silence. View a slideshow of the tomb we call Ground Zero. Its phantom exit stairs preserved, its lack enclosed by granite slabs. Dual shadows, ephemeral as ghosts, will rise at dusk, and in less time than it took to level those, these 19-year-olds are talking over one another, recalling where they were that morning 14 years ago. It was Danny's first day of first grade. From Long Island, he saw the sky explode. Damien's class was told of a tornado. Alex's teacher turned the television on full blast and let them watch. We've had 267 mass shootings in the U.S. since the year began. And currently, the Queer Thoughts Gallery on the Lower East Side of Manhattan is running an exhibit soon to close. Its title, The End of Violent Crime. Thank you so much. I think Jolie Cecchini is next.